Hey, it's Dylan here. I just wanted to thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen and support my podcast. Before we get started, I would like to ask you one small thing. Right now, I'm really trying to grow my podcast audience, and I would really appreciate it if you could share Envirocast with everyone you know who you think is interested in the environment. I know what I asked you is a big favor, and if you don't have the time to complete it, I would also really appreciate it if you would leave a review wherever you are listening. If you can't leave a review where you are listening, you can click the link in the description and leave a review on Podchaser. If you do end up sharing Envirocast or leaving a review, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Now, on to today's show. The Biden administration just released a $2 trillion infrastructure proposal. And when releasing the proposal, they put a large emphasis on it being good for the environment. So in today's podcast episode, we ask, what is in Biden's bill proposal? And how can an infrastructure bill, especially this one, be good for the environment? That's all coming up right after this short intro. My name is Dylan Westheimer, and this is Envirocast, the podcast about everything environmental. To talk about the Biden administration's infrastructure proposal, I interviewed Nat Mund. Nat Mund is the Director of Federal Affairs and the head of the Washington, D.C. office for the Southern Environmental Law Center. They focus on all environmental issues, but primarily on environmental issues which affect Virginia, Georgia, North and South Carolina, Alabama, and Tennessee. Not knowing anything about this issue, the first question that I asked him was, Nat Mund, thank you so much for being here. I know that your organization mostly focuses on issues, environmental issues in the South, but you also said that being from the Washington, D.C. office, you focus on national issues as well if they affect the South, and this is definitely a national issue. So can you tell us a little bit about what the Biden administration's infrastructure proposal is?
Sure. So this week on Wednesday, President Biden announced a proposal. It's not actually legislation yet. It's not yet a bill, but it's for somewhere in the neighborhood of $2 trillion to go into infrastructure. And what they mean by infrastructure in this legislation is a whole bunch of different things. Some of the money is going to go to roads and bridges, rebuilding ones that are crumbling right now, making them, the ones that do exist, better for what they call multimodal, easier for people to walk, easier for people to bike. But it also includes things beyond that, includes transit, money for subways, money for buses. Also includes a bunch of money for water infrastructure. So that's sewer pipes and clean water plants, things like that. As well as a whole host of other sort of, other projects like things like childcare and things of that nature, things that are improving America's ability to get back to work. And it is the biggest proposal like this that we've seen, at least in the 20 years that I've been doing this in D.C. It's a huge, huge opportunity. So we're looking forward. We're still digging in. They gave us a big summary, but it's still a summary, and we're digging into the details. And there are going to be some interesting questions in those details.
So I do want to get into, from the environmental aspect, what is in this bill, but more generically, what does this bill have?
So, money. Generically speaking, there is a lot of money in this bill to spend on infrastructure that has been long neglected. It's been going on for decades of us not investing enough, particularly in repairing our infrastructure. A lot of times when Congress passes those legislation to deal with transportation or to deal with water infrastructure, they're talking about building new things. And what and that's led to a hollowing out. We've been given a very poor grade by the, I think it's the American Society of Civil Engineers, gave us a C+ nationally on infrastructure. Not a great grade. And it's because we've let all of these things decay over time. When a bridge is built, it lasts for 40 or 50 years. Well, a lot of those things were 40 or 50 years old now. And we need to go back and fix them, make sure that they work well, that they don't create problems. we also have a better understanding of what, you know, how people use infrastructure, and we need to get to do that. One thing that's really interesting in this legislation, and we think is important in our region, in the South particularly, is that the bill devotes a certain chunk of money to reconnecting communities that were split up by highways. This is something that people don't necessarily know about, but in U.S. history, when we built the interstate highway system in the 50s, a lot of times we split neighborhoods apart, split communities away from each other, and unfortunately, that disproportionately happened in communities of color. And this legislation proposes that we do something about that, that we start to reconnect those communities. Gonna have to see how they plan on doing that, but it's a great opportunity to see it. And then there's, of course, something that I haven't talked about as much besides the money is its idea for clean energy. The bill talks about reducing the U.S. electrical market, decarbonizing it, taking all of the pollution, the global climate change pollution out of the electrical system by 2035. We think that means, you know, huge opportunities for solar, for wind, for energy efficiency, things that allow us to enjoy the same lifestyle that we have now, but do it in a way that's much cleaner.
You were talking a little bit earlier about how this bill is very different from other infrastructure bills. You talked a lot about how the size is different. This is a much bigger bill, but how else is it different?
It's different in scope. Congress, every few years, passes legislation dealing with transportation. And every couple of years, they pass legislation dealing with water infrastructure. But nothing nearly as large as this, or as big in scope, because this bill doesn't just include water and transportation, as we were talking about, but also has clean energy goals and these other provisions that are sort of outside of the physical infrastructure space that are huge, that would be really transformative. But the devil is in the details, and we're going to have to be looking in and making sure. I mean, there's a huge promise associated with this that we haven't seen before. But we do need to make sure that as it moves forward, that it's careful and that it does things that don't have negative unintended consequences, whether that's on individual communities, particularly communities of color, or on the environment writ large. So we need to be aware of that. But it's still, I mean, from what we've seen so far, it looks really, really positive.
You were talking a lot about how this bill has a lot to offer, but of course today I just want to focus on the environmental aspect of this bill. So how is this bill good for the environment?
Oh, well, there's a lot of stuff in it that would improve the ability of folks that would improve efficiency throughout the system. And whether that means roads that aren't broken so that you don't get stuck in a traffic jam because of a pothole or something similar, or expanding the ability to use public transportation in cities, or expanding the ability to get rural broadband. That's another big piece of this bill. There's $100 billion available for providing broadband internet access in different parts of the country, which would enable people to do jobs from different places. There's also, they talk a lot about making clean energy investments in electrification of vehicles, which are a lot less polluting, whether it's the 500,000 charging stations that they're proposing, or improving electric vehicle supply chains, making it so that it's easier to build electric vehicles in the U.S. and sell them, make it easier for people to buy them. They're so much less polluting and so much more efficient. Electrifying buses. Getting away from diesel school buses. My 15-year-old daughter rides the bus. When she is in school, during COVID, she hasn't been as much. But getting diesel fumes are really bad for the environment, really bad for folks. And getting those to be electrified would be great for the environment. And then there's other. I mean, the water stuff is also huge. We have a huge problem of decaying sewer infrastructure in our country, where the wastewater treatment plants overflow. They become overwhelmed by rain events, and you wind up getting a lot of pollution into water. Investing in cleaning that up is going to mean that the water is cleaner. One of the things that I personally am really excited about in this bill is its promise to reduce lead. Lead in pipes is a really huge problem for people around the country. Old pipes have lead. Lead is really problematic for kids, particularly for kids, for everybody, but particularly for kids. And they're talking about doing everything they can to get rid of all lead in pipes through this legislation. Again, devil's going to be in the details, but there are so many investments that we can make that will lead to a positive environmental outcome and not, you know, generate more development in ways that is not positive for the environment.
We'll continue our interview with Nat Mund right after this quick break. Of course, there is a lot in this bill, but we just have a summary of it. You said that whatever happens and how it happens will be in the details. And we only have a summary because it's a proposal, meaning it hasn't been passed yet. And to do so, it would need to go through the democratic process, going through the House, the Senate, and then finally get signed on the president's desk. So once it gets into the House or the Senate and proposed as a bill, what's the journey going to be like for the infrastructure plan?
I have to tell you, I don't know. I think that anybody who tells you that they know for sure what journey this package is going to take is lying to you or lying to themselves, because there are so many different pathways that are open, all of which have difficulties associated with them. President Biden has said that he wants to do this in a bipartisan way, that he wants to, you know, bring on folks from, you know, Democrats and Republicans to support this legislation. Unfortunately, the initial response from Republican leaders has been muted at best. It's not clear that they've endorsed significant portions of this, although they haven't rejected everything in it outright. So I'm sure that there will be discussions, particularly in the Senate, for figuring out if they can get enough Republicans on board to overcome the filibuster. I don't know if you and your listeners have gone through sort of the machinations of Senate procedure, but in the Senate, we need 60 votes to get things through what's called regular order. It's hard to see a package of the scale that President Biden has proposed getting 60 votes in the Senate, but I know that they're going to try and they're going to have discussions about that. In the House, everything is done on a simple majority, and it is clearly easier to see a way of getting to a simple majority in the House with this legislation. Democrats control the House there by a very narrow margin, but most of the positions in here, most of the proposals are broadly supported in the Democratic caucus. So I think that you're gonna see a pretty good chance of some version of this getting through the House on a majority basis. If they can't do the big thing in the Senate though, which is gonna be the same legislation has to pass the House and the Senate before it can be sent to the president. They're gonna use this arcane process, which people have become more familiar with because of the way that the COVID legislation that recently passed, called reconciliation, where the Senate only needs a simple majority to pass legislation. But to do that, everything in the bill has to be closely tied to taxing and spending. And a fair amount of it, the money aspect of it, can be, obviously. You know, we can tie pretty closely the legislation to expand infrastructure spending and to create, there's, I believe, some tax proposals that SCLC isn't working on to help fund this legislation. That can go through some sort of reconciliation if they can get everybody to agree, if they can get members on board with that. But some of the more ambitious policy proposals that are embedded in here are tougher. And we're hoping to be working with members of Congress to figure out how much of that stuff we can get through reconciliation if that winds up being the route that we go. But that's going to be a huge amount of work that's going to take place, I would say, sometime over the next 2 to 4 months of trying to figure this all out. I say 2 to 4 months, but really, I mean, they could try to jam something through even faster than that, although I think that's unlikely, or it could go on throughout the entirety of 2021. We really don't know what path this legislation is gonna take. There's also the chance that the Biden administration will take bits and pieces of this proposal and try to do them through executive orders or through adopting protections from the EPA, from the Department of Transportation, from the Department of Agriculture, all different things that they can try to do little bits and pieces of this without congressional authorization. But to get this this huge package done, to get this huge vision that's been laid out, it clearly requires Congress to step up and take action.
I know this is a very generic question, but you've talked a lot about the challenges of the bill going through Congress, but what other challenges are there for this bill?
Well, I always think of it. I mean, I think that there are going to be challenges with communicating with the public. There are so many moving pieces in it that, having folks understand what's in it is going to be a pretty big challenge. Having folks understand that this is environmentally beneficial is going to be both a challenge and an opportunity. So I think that we're looking forward to explaining that to folks. We also don't want this bill to become what they call in DC a Christmas tree. We don't want it to start to attract bad provisions, that since it becomes this huge thing that's going to happen, we don't want to see it being used as an excuse to weaken existing environmental laws. Like I talked briefly at the top end about the National Environmental Policy Act. We don't want to see that weakened through this legislation. We don't want to see it become a vehicle for increasing bad energy generation like biomass, which is when you burn trees to create electricity. We think that has significant negative implications, and we don't want to see that being encouraged aggressively in this legislation. So educating the public about all of those things is going to take a lot of work by a lot of different people. So that's a big deal. And to be frank, I mean, because it's so large in scope, that presents its own challenge. We haven't tried to do something like this in the past. We haven't tried to take on something this big at once in decades. And it's going to be a big challenge to see it all the way through. Lots of folks are going to be working to push to make it happen. Some folks are going to be working to push against having it happen. And then a lot of folks like SELC will be trying to push to make sure that it happens in the best way possible. So it's got a complicated road in front of it.
Thank you so much for doing this interview with me.
I do appreciate the opportunity to talk.
My name is Dylan Westheimer, and you're listening to EnviroCast. I would like to thank Nat Mund for letting me interview him in this podcast episode. I would like to thank Justin Westheimer for the music that you heard in this podcast episode. And as usual, I would like to thank my family for supporting me and my podcast. That's all I have for today. See you next time on Thursday.